So, just to say there's no audio in case you're speaking, Amban.
Oh, did I just, was I speaking that entire time and no one heard me?
Yeah.
Oh my
So it's
gosh, that's brutal.
lagging a little bit,
Oh
but
my
we were
gosh.
waiting for people to
I've been
join.
speaking for 8 minutes.
Yeah,
Oh,
sorry.
all right. I will start all over. Maybe the second time will be better. Sorry about that, guys. Thank you for stepping in, Katsi. All right. Oh man. Okay, I will start over. So, hey everyone, apologies. I've been speaking for 8 minutes and not knowing that I was on mute. But as I had said while well, you guys didn't hear, AST dropped this tremendous joint venture news today, of course, against the backdrop of a pretty volatile macro environment for the market. But I think the market, it doesn't fully comprehend the news that was dropped today. And so I thought it'd be helpful to have a discussion and kind of go through the key points, and Katsi's here to share his thoughts as well. What seems to be a regular occurrence is tremendous news every week from the company, which is great to see. Clearly there's momentum building, but today the company announced a joint venture with Vodafone. This agreement is to create a new SatCo satellite company, which will provide satellite services across MNOs to serve Europe. And so this new venture is exclusive where Vodafone will distribute AST Mobile's satellite services to European MNOs under a single turnkey arrangement. This is underpinned by managing the full network and network operations. It will be based in Europe, and it's going to draw on Vodafone's advanced engineering expertise. This is important in that Vodafone's no stranger to doing this. They already have a partner markets program where they partner with 30 MNOs across 45 countries, where they actually provide the turnkey solution. They run all the back-end infrastructure for those companies. And so a key market, just to highlight, is that Vodafone provides all the back-end infrastructure for Altice in France, which is the number two player to Orange, which is also an AST SpaceMobile partner. And so this is not something new for them. They know how to operate JVs. They know how to partner with local market operators. And so this is huge news. I think it's important to point out that this is a masterful stroke by the company. Here, as some of you, I mean, everybody knows, the political winds have been changing in Europe on a day-to-day basis, just given the new regime that we're facing, the new geopolitical regime that we're facing. And I think it's clear that Europe wants its own solution that is controlled and operated by Europeans. And so this is a really great way to address that issue head on. For AST SpaceMobile, it accomplishes so many different things, which I'll cover during this discussion. One key thing is that, like AT&T before, Vodafone had, because it was an early investor and strategic investor and partner, it had a 5-year exclusivity on all home markets. And so what you're seeing here today is that Vodafone is giving up that exclusivity in order to create a European solution that will benefit all the carriers. And so that's the ability, when working with other MNOs that are essentially your competitors, it gives you the ability to scale and amortize the fixed cost of that constellation across more players. And then the other thing, which I think is really important, is that it basically eases the regulatory path. And so similar to what AT&T did, which had a 5-year exclusivity in the US, AT&T decided for the benefit of its users and also to accelerate the regulatory path, they decided to bring in Verizon to work with AST SpaceMobile. And so there, Verizon, invested $100 million in the company. They also contributed their 850 megahertz spectrum. And so not only is that service in the US going to be better, it eases the regulatory path. And what I mean by that is when you go when you introduce a new service and you go ahead of in front of regulators, the last thing you want is your competitors throwing sand in the gears and slowing you down. Under this new JV, where you're welcoming partners into the fold, those folks are going to be pushing for your service from a regulatory perspective. And so imagine going through the EU regulatory process and saying, here, we've got a European solution. It's going to be controlled and operated by Europeans. The data is all going to originate and land in Europe. And all these MNOs are fully, backed and supportive of this solution. And so that should just ease things quite quickly. Abel, in the press release refers to this. He talks about how this joint venture is going to accelerate commercialization plans across all of Europe. And so I think not only economically, but from a regulatory standpoint, this is going to accelerate things. The other thing I would say is that if you're a new entrant into Europe or you're trying to make inroads, now you've got a unified block of European MNOs that are going to be skeptical of any new solutions. And for example, just one issue that we know quite well is interference limits. I don't foresee how the interference limits are going to be eased now when you have a bunch of European operators working together who don't want their terrestrial networks interfered with. And so, and now they're all going to be using AST Space Mobile service. And so there's a lot of other benefits there, which we can talk about more. I think I mentioned this before, this is an example of why this JV is so critical. AST is a partner of Telefonica, and Telefonica, their home market is actually Spain. Prior to today, AST, Telefonica resell AST Space Mobile in Spain. When Telefonica signed their agreement with AST Space Mobile, it was really to cover their Latin American markets. But because AST Space Mobile had exclusivity with Vodafone, Telefonica could not resell service in Spain. However, because of this joint venture, you can assume now that Telefonica will be reselling AST Space Mobile service in Spain, along with Vodafone and any other carriers. And so, again, this really just broadens the TAM for the company and eases the regulatory path forward, and also creates a lot of interesting financial options, which I'll cover in a bit. So this service seeks to provide 100% geographic coverage in every part of Europe. This is really important because Europe is unique. Here you've got many small countries that are close to one another that are being served by different MNO players. And so I think as we've covered this before, Europe is a very hard puzzle for a player like Starlink Direct to Cell to solve because of their architecture. And so Starlink Direct to Cell does not have an ability to project fixed cells on Earth. It's inaccurate. It also has interference issues. And so unless you have a contiguous band of terrestrial spectrum across Europe, that's going to be something really hard to do. Whereas now with Vodafone working in partner with other MNOs, previously AST Space Mobile has the technology to accurately beam cells and service that respects borders. But now, because you have European MNOs that will be working together, you have a higher probability of getting contiguous spectrum together, which is game changing for the company. And so I think, as I mentioned before, I don't think the market fully comprehends what this announcement means. And so there's a lot to unpack here. The other thing, as I mentioned just now, the opportunity for spectrum harmonization, you have the greater odds that there will be a contiguous band of spectrum that can be used across Europe. The other thing that Katsi pointed out this morning is that there is an opportunity now because you can go to, you basically have a contiguous customer base. You can then pursue spectrum opportunities around satellite. And so similar to what we've done here in the US, which is, we've locked down Ligado spectrum, 45 megahertz that covers the US and Canada. Are there opportunities to bolster your spectrum portfolio to provide an augmented service? And so whether that's L-band or S-band that covers Europe, maybe there can be something worked out with Inmarsat or any other number of players. This new JV structure, it provides a lot of flexibility. And so as I, you know, this now empowers Vodafone, the EU government, other European MNO players to basically take ownership of the business over Europe while paying AST Space Mobile, you know, whether that's some types of fees or royalties, but basically AST Space Mobile becomes a landlord, right? And so Vodafone will be reselling the service through various MNOs here in Europe. And then AST is going to be providing the infrastructure that's going to be basically rented out. And so what this new structure does is it creates a European champion. You know, as Prime Capital has said, this is now the pan-European Airbus of satellite communications. And so this will open the gates, as I mentioned before, for regulatory approvals with AST, with many of the European regulators. This solves sovereignty concerns and issues. And so this leverages, you know, AST already has the way that it's architected with its bend pipe architecture, you know, all the mobile data is trafficked directly from and back onto European soil. And so this just gives regulators even more comfort and MNOs that, hey, it's not only the architecture that does that, but then the person who's quarterbacking this, which is Vodafone, they have our best interests in mind. In this structure, you know, MNOs will continue to control the data and the customer. This also consolidates gateways across Europe. And so what could have been a patchwork of countries kind of basically building like redundant infrastructure, like having multiple gateways in each country, now you'll probably just have a few gateways across the entirety of Europe. Some interesting point that came out today is, you know, Scott reiterated that service will be launched between 2025 and 2026. And so what that tells me is that, you know, related to the quarterly update later, that things are going well and that, you know, the production cadence, you know, I don't want to speculate or be too bullish, but I feel like things are going to be accelerated. Another interesting point that came out of the press release is that this network, and this continues to be emphasized, is going to work seamlessly as an extension of Vodafone's network. And so as we've seen in Starlink beta testing, Starlink is basically operating a separate network. And so your customers and your data is actually not yours, it's Starlink's. And so as we've seen, because there's the handoff between the two networks and it's not seamless, and in some respects are conflicting, that introduces, you know, battery issues. It also, I think, makes the MNO is quite uncomfortable in how that structure is set up, that Starlink is effectively operating a separate network. And so, you know, here, again, it's being reiterated that the way that the solution is architected, it's just going to be a seamless extension of an MNO's network. In terms of going back to sovereignty, a few people have pointed this out before, but, you know, Europe, because of the issues that it's facing with its, I guess, changing relationship with the US, and then also, I guess, some politicization of other service providers out there, Europe over the past month announced that they want to spend $10.5 billion on this new IRIS project to create an alternative Starlink. And so I think, you know, just looking at what was announced today, I'd imagine that some of those funds actually get allocated to this joint venture to at least address the direct-to-device portion of the market. And, you know, going forward, I think there's probably going to be a lot more funding opportunities for this joint venture. As I mentioned, you know, this structure creates new opportunities because it's being controlled by Vodafone and European entities. And so whether, you know, there's all kinds of things where if a new MNO partner comes in and they want an equity stake, they can actually put a direct investment into this JV and they can fund it. This opens up all kinds of avenues, whether, you know, export-import funding, because this is a European entity, all of a sudden those avenues get opened up. I think someone on Twitter mentioned before, Europe is the king of subsidies and grants. And so whether that's, you know, the connecting European facility, Horizon Europe, which is I think a 96 billion euro fund. There's a Digital Europe program, Invest EU, the EU Green Deal and Innovation Funds, the EIC Accelerator. There's just a whole host of funds that become available. Part of the news today, which is related to XM export-import potential funding, is the establishment of a, and you know, some of the space mobbers caught this last week, the company is leasing and will be opening up a 55,000 square foot manufacturing facility in Spain. And so just to give you a sense of the scale of that, that's the Odessa facility in the US is about 185,000 square feet. And so I think, you know, we had early on a few years ago had speculated that Spain would help manufacture some of the solar modules, but this either could be related to that or it could be a further expansion. But this basically tells me that there is going to be an acceleration in manufacturing capability. You know, what we had historically seen as, you know, in the US, there's the ability to build six satellites, the block two satellites a month. With this new facility, you know, how much could that potentially increase? Because you're building, and of course, you know, when you go to regulators, you go to politicians, hey, we've got, just like Trump is trying to get, you know, chip manufacturing back to the US, hey, you guys want a European solution? Not only is it going to be controlled and operated by Europeans, but we're going to build, you know, whether that's the entire satellite or components of it, we're going to have significant manufacturing in Spain, which is a huge piece of news, which then can also be opened up for, again, XM funding, export-import funding, grants, subsidies, you name it. And so at a high level, just taking a step back, AST Space Mobile now has effectively two-thirds of the U.S. market locked up with AT&T and Verizon. And through this joint venture, I think it's, you know, for any, originally part of the pushback was that Vodafone has exclusivity in a lot of these markets. Not sure, you know, it's still up for grabs potentially. But now that Vodafone is saying, hey, we've got the best solution and we're going to work with all the MNOs in Europe, I think now we've locked up Europe. And so if you have reign basically over the two of the largest and most profitable wireless markets, you know, how is a competitor supposed to enter those if they're interested in doing direct-to-device? So I think from today, you know, we're basically seeing a de facto global monopoly taking shape. I don't think the market fully comprehends that. You know, the market's really focused on tariffs and crypto and all kinds of other stuff. But I think today's joint venture is truly a watershed moment for this company and for direct-to-device as a market. And so, you know, and I'm not even mentioning the fact that, you know, the company, we've seen some of the tweets out there of the company doing presentations with NATO, and of course there's pan-European defense. You know, we haven't even really started talking about the defense market in Europe, which obviously if you've seen a lot of the European defense names, they're all, someone mentioned they're trading like shit coins. They're all ramping up because there's a huge expectation that Europe is going to be spending significant amounts of money to bolster its military capabilities, and satellite communications is a key aspect of that. And so I think this opens up even more business for AST Space Mobile. The other thing I would say is that this also unlocks cheaper / subsidized launch with potentially Ariane. As some of you know, Ariane 6 has been in development. It has the ability to, in certain configurations, to take as much capacity as Falcon 9 to LEO. And, you know, some people will push back and say, well, it's not an economic rocket, or, you know, who knows. But Europe, they're focused on developing sovereign capabilities. And if they have to subsidize it, if it has to operate at a loss, I think they understand that relying on somebody else for your launch capability to eventually, you know, put up military assets in space, that's just not an option. And so I think this also opens up another, you know, launch alternative for the company. So anyway, those are kind of the key highlights. You know, we've got quarterly results later today. I will say for anyone who is a little nervous, you know, the company already pre-released quarterly results for the fourth quarter. They did that when they did the convert back in January. So there should be no surprises there. And I will say, the company wouldn't release quarterly results and then have a call 24 hours later if there was something bad. That just wouldn't make any sense. I assume that the release today will have some positive news, or perhaps the positive news will be announcements like today and over the coming days as Mobile World Congress unfolds. But I certainly am looking forward to the call tomorrow, which will be after the close. Would love to hear more about this joint venture, any thoughts on the Legato transaction, and of course, the key thing that everyone's focused on, which is production ramp. The other thing I will hint at is that there's been some new expert calls that are floating around the hedge fund world from former Starlink employees. And so I'll be working on a post, and I'll try to provide that midweek, that provides some real eye-opening due diligence, that where you have former Starlink employees basically validating pretty much everything we've been saying about Starlink and HD Space Mobile. So keep an eye out for that. But anyway, I'll pause there. Katzi, I'm sure I missed a bunch of stuff in case you wanted to add anything.
Yeah, my biggest contribution might have been unlocking your microphone, but I'll add a few things. There's a fragmented European market, and it's a bit fragmented also in a regulatory sense, because the national regulators still have some say in telecom. But like the free movement of goods and environmental policy and consumer protection, financial services, there's been a harmonization of policy on the European Union level, and there's the same movement with electronic communications. So they have this pillar of single market for innovation and digital stuff. And I think management has a high level of understanding how to work this in a smart way. They put the proper incentives in place and erect this tent in which they welcome other telecom providers. A mutualistic approach, similar to what Verizon and AT&T did on the US market. It's a way to not have some telecom companies, some nation states influenced by these telecom companies obstruct the new harmonized legislation, rather welcome them into this. I think it's potluck in English. We say knytkalas in Swedish, this big social gathering where you bring your spectrum and you join this win-win party with your mates. It's what they have established in a very, very smart way. It will be welcomed by European regulators. There's this need, as you spoke to, about the new global regime to do things together, and this non-terrestrial SATCOM component certainly is one of these joint projects that European legislators are looking for. They need that now, and they play straight into that in a very smart way. They already have the footprint in European Union with Safran and Kongsberg in Norway and Lithuania. They have Nokia in Finland, all these European MNOs under MOUs, a research facility in Spain, large manufacturing areas in Spain secured. So they have the footprint. Now they also have the European ownership stamp by joining up with Vodafone. So they're eligible to funding and partnerships with the European Space Agency and so on and so forth. And they also invite the other MNOs to join this in a mutualistic way. It's really smart put together. That's my comment. I'll end there.
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned before, I don't think the market really comprehends this. You know, oftentimes you'll see announcements by two companies, some type of partnership, and it seems like a bunch of fluff. But this has real economic and political ramifications. And I think, as we've seen with a certain other competitor, and as Cook mentioned last night, that competitor politically is becoming untenable in Europe. And so whether that's people boycotting, you know, for example, Tesla's, I think year-over-year sales in January were down like 50% in lots of parts of Europe. Or you've got governments that are looking for alternatives to Starlink. Here, this was just a masterful stroke in terms of really reading the room and understanding what it takes to drive market adoption, which is, hey, we're gonna leverage our technology in the constellation, but we're gonna make it a European managed and driven solution and give people in Europe real ownership in it. So that it's not just a US company dictating the terms, but it's a European perspective that that has the best of, you know, the European interest in mind.
Yeah, I'll agree. My point of view is the European. I've been in politics for 20 plus years, not on the European Union level, on municipality level and regional level, but so studying this to business and leadership is interesting. I think Elon and Abel provides both very, very good examples of what not to do to capture the European market and what to do to capture the European market. We get to see both extremes, really. I don't know of any individual in the last few months that has annoyed so many European policymakers as Elon Musk. On the other end of the spectra, this Abel is very, very much not political. That's smart. And on the technical level, his architecture is transparent. His approach is not confrontative, it's mutualistic. So they are very, very different personalities, very different mindsets and business philosophy. This is built to interact with large number of global governments and telecom companies. And I think Abel Avalon and his team's long experience, which is decade long of interacting with all sorts of governments around the globe, really shows. Yeah, I'll end there.
Yeah, I think, but going back to the point of interacting with governments, you know, having someone who their aim is to connect the unconnected. That's kind of a universal, right? Like it goes across the aisle in terms of politics. And so staying neutral there, but just being focused on that core mission. And then, you know, basically bringing in other European players to push that agenda forward with regulators. I think, again, it's a masterful stroke because it's you know, that should ease things quite a bit and give people comfort. And so what could have been, you know, just like we saw in the US, a pretty long process, I think that is going to get shrunk down and will be accelerated. And so it'll be interesting to see how kind of things unfold here.
I had this revelation a couple of weeks ago because we spent a couple of years thinking what's going to be the big unlocks, and I boiled that down to market capture just a couple of weeks ago. What AT&T and Verizon did with their deals, that was US market capture. This is European market capture, and it's the second most important market. And I think when this settles and the market understands it, that the price action will reflect that. It's as important, I'd say. Because once you lock in the market, becomes very, very difficult for others to enter that market.
I think it'll be fascinating to see how this unfolds, because I think as we've seen, whether that's just individual Europeans, just the backlash again, whether you agree or not with US politics, it's a very tricky thing to navigate right now. And here we've created a very unique solution, and it's not just political. It's going to be a great funding vehicle. And whether you have the ability to raise money from other MNOs who are going to invest into this JV, or European funding options, I do think are going to open up, because now you've got a European company that's going to be providing the service. And so, it'll be interesting to see how Wall Street reacts as they digest this information. We've got, of course, tariffs in the US and other news items to get through to really see, how this news is properly digested and reflected in the stock. Maybe I think we've covered most of it. Actually, let me go through some of the comments here. Okay, some of the comments. You have no audio. Yes, thank you. let's see if there's any other comments here. Someone asked if I'm a robot tweeting 3 hours of the night. No, I'm not a robot, but I used to cover European markets when I was a hedge fund portfolio manager. And so for some brutal reason, I always wake up in the middle of the night to check news. And so when I saw this news hit, I couldn't go back to sleep. So I had to tweet about it. So I'm not a robot, but I do have weird hours sometimes. I think that's kind of it. So
I'm going to speak for everyone on the call, and thank you for hosting, Bam.
Yeah. Apologies for making people wait for 8 minutes.
As always, your calls are very well prepared and thought through. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm gonna put a summary of this into a tweet, because I wrote all these notes down. If people miss this, I see Space Investor in the group there. I'll cover this probably, or no, I definitely will cover this in the Space Stocks Weekly Twitter space that he has at 8 p.m. on Wednesday. Actually, by then, we might even have more news, because obviously the quarterly update will be out by then. And I know Abel will be speaking with, will be doing a joint presentation with Rakuten CEO and strategic investor, Mikitani, tomorrow. And so there'll be probably even more stuff to cover. But I think short and concise, hopefully that covers it quite a bit. If folks want to hear this on replay, it's available. And it'll be interesting to see once hopefully the market calms down a bit, how it will react to this news once, I think people really comprehend what this means. But anyway, thanks everyone for joining. And again, I'll type up, I'll make these notes available, and feel free to go through them again and share it out. But thanks everyone for joining.
Thank you. Bye.